It's a joy to be in the ministry. Thank you for being here today. We're going to turn our attention to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And our main text is verses 42 through 50. We're really going to back up and focus more on the 40s, not really so much in the 50, but I do want to read the text, and then we'll tie that into the messages that have been preached thus far here in the book of Mark, preaching the book of Mark as a series. And we're in Mark chapter 9, and beginning in verse number 42. There's some things said in this text that seem a little drastic, amen? And we're going to cover those, exactly why they are there as they are stated, and make some sense of this, amen? Mark chapter 9, verse 42, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, that into the fire that never shall be quenched." Verse 46, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourself, and have peace one with another." Now, we're not going to really deal with the salty verses there this week, amen? But the last phrase there that says, "Have salt in yourself and have peace one with another," it kind of brings this text together, and we're going to tie that with what we've already tied together with what we've already seen. So if you'll look back in our text here at verse number 35, remember what we just read started off with, "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones." So he's already has an analogy working from the previous verse or previous things that he stated. And in verse number 35, it said that Jesus says that he sat down. He sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them. So Jesus is speaking unto the 12. And this is just after he confronts them about disputing amongst themselves who is the greatest. And he sets them down and he says, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him up in his arms, okay, so this is a child. They're in the midst of the 12. He picks up this child in his arms. This is a young child that he's picking up with his arms. He saith unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." And so they're focused on themselves, on who is the greatest, who's doing the most work for God, who's accomplishing the most in the ministry, who's the furthest advanced in their Bible knowledge and doctrinal understanding, and all the focus is on them about who is at the top. And Jesus, he pulls this child unto them, this little child holds him up and says, basically, this is what the ministry is about. It's not about you. It's not about what you know. It's not about what you've done or who you've done it to or with or for. It's about people. It's about other people. It's about us caring for the least of those among us that can't do much for themselves. He picks up this child and says in verse number 37, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me." And in the economy of that day, women and children, they were on the lower edge of society because it was the men that did everything. And the men did get kind of a view of self as if they were the most important ones. And can I say, no matter what you've been called to do, if from your perspective, the least important person in your life is the one you see in the mirror every morning, amen. And if we lose that perspective, then we'll stop seeing people and we'll start seeing self and how everybody affects us and how we're ill-treated and how we are this and we are that, and we become selfish in our focus, amen?
And so Jesus pulls, he could have just as easily pulled a widow woman to this, amen, this analogy, because those are grouped together in James chapter 1. And we find that he pulls a child in and says, this is what ministry is all about. All right, so take that thought now and go to our text in Mark chapter 9 and in verse number 42. He says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. The title today is, It Is Better. And then we're going to see it here. We're going to see it elsewhere. It is better. So one of these little ones, it would be better. It would be better, he says here, to have a rope around your neck with a millstone. A millstone is one of those big round stones that you grind meal on. It would be better to have one of those big stones tied to a rope, tied to your neck, you drowned in the sea. It would be better to be drowned, it says here, than for you to offend one of these little ones that believe in God. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. We sure do need your help with this text. I'm so thankful, God, that we're going through this book verse by verse like this, so we're able to cover passages like this that at times seem a little bit forward. And God, I'm excited for it. The connection that's here with the previous verses, just the understanding that you've given throughout this book of Mark. And I pray today that you'd connect some dots in our lives and that you would help us, Lord, not to be self-centered, self-focused, God, but that we would see the least among us, God, as important and vital. And God, help us, Lord, never to offend others in this light as it's stated here, but to realize how important this is in your economy. Help us now, I pray, and we'll thank you, Father, for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Fascinating text of scripture. It would be better to be drowned than to offend a child who believes in Jesus. So what does this word offend mean? It's the word scandalizo, which that's where we get scandalized for. To offend, that means to entrap, to cause, to stumble, to entice, to sin. And so he says it would be better to be drowned than to take a little child who believes in Jesus, maybe has been taught some about the Lord, believes in Jesus with a childlike faith. You know, sometimes we as adults need to be very careful that we don't cause a child to lose faith in God. Amen. Sometimes we can just because we as adults engage in doctrinal discussions that they can't understand. I didn't get an amen on that one. Sometimes we can offend a little one because we include them in adult conversations. Conversations that maybe only belong to my wife and I about our family. And that our kids don't really need to know about because it would cause them, their mind, to question things maybe that they're not really ready to question. Does this make sense? You see, we have to be careful that we don't create an environment for the little ones that cause them to question things or reason through things or whatever that leads them away from God. And it's not that we're trying to paint a picture that leads them to a false understanding. No, it's just us understanding how fragile a child's mind really is. How we as adults have been grown up to be able to bear a load that a child is not. For instance, if a child sees mom and dad fighting and they're insecure in their parents' relationship, then ultimately they potentially will become kind of unable to reason through, and they'll become insecure even in their relationship with God. The stability is so important along those lines. And if it's not there, then you have to work overtime to make sure that they are stable. Amen. In the things of God. You just got to work overtime. You have to understand who's around you in a church setting, in a Sunday school setting. There's some things in a Sunday school class that a teacher should not teach, even though it's truth. Jesus said to the disciples, there's many things that I want to say unto you, but you're not ready to bear them yet. You're not able. And that's part of maturity, is knowing what people are able. We don't, We want to be very careful the weight we put on a child, even if it's truth, because of what that can do to them. Is it making sense? And he says here in this text that we have to be careful that we don't offend a child, meaning that we cause them to stumble, that we put them into a trap, that we entice them even to sin. Amen. He says it'd be better if you're just out of the picture. Now, he said drowned here. That's big time out of the picture. Amen. It would be better to be out of the picture than for you to lead a child astray. My boss when I worked at ATA used to say, lead follower, get out of the way. Man, I've never forgot that because it was so impactful in my life because a lot of people just like to complain. But if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. Amen. Let me say that again. If you're not part of a solution, you're just part of a problem. And I don't want to be part of a problem. I would rather exit stage, well, I guess that's right, stage left for you. I would rather exit the stage than to be part of the problem. Does that make sense? I'd rather bow out. Really, I'd rather just be part of the solution. But if I couldn't be part of the solution, I'd rather not be part of the equation. Does that make sense? I don't want to lead our church astray. I don't want to lead our family astray. I don't want to lead some youngster. I don't want to lead our town people astray. I don't want to lead people astray. I want to lead people to Christ, even if that means me stepping out. Amen. And that's what this text teaches, you see. So Jesus then goes on to give a graphic comparison to drive home this thought, his thought on this matter, for those that lead children into sin or lead them away from their simple childlike faith in Jesus. Amen. There's something to be said for a simple childlike faith in Jesus. Amen. Would you agree with me that adults oftentimes complicate things? Amen. Do you know children don't do well with complexity? So if we as adults include them in that complexity, we hurt them. We wonder why later they almost can't process. The reason is because they had to check out or go crazy when they were dealt complexity when they weren't ready for it. It's a process. And the mind is very, very fragile. Amen. So in verse number 42, we saw it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, he were cast into the sea. That's graphic. But it drives home a point that we don't want to be leading people astray, even with concepts that would cause them to sin. This is not just error here. This is not being seemly, giving people things to think on that they shouldn't be thinking about at that point. By the way, that's true of the whole boyfriend-girlfriend dating thing. You know that every date is a potential mate. And yet the world specializes in divorce practice from the age they're 8 or 7 or 6. And they encourage relationships. Do you know when a person is ready for a relationship is when they're also ready to be married? And you're not ready to be married when you're 13, girls, guys. So stop thinking about it. Why? You can't handle that yet. When I said to Josh yesterday, had my arm around him, and I said, man, you're just a little bit. We were like an hour before the wedding. I said, man, your life's fixing to change. And all of us that are married or have been married, I mean, we're like, oh, man, it sure is. Not necessarily in a bad way. But his life's fixing to get really complicated. Because all these other components are coming in like a freight train. And I said to someone else, Josh is going to come back a changed man, amen, from this on me. In a lot of ways. You know, sometimes people look at me and think, man, you're too sober. They just don't hang out with me, like, you know, when I'm just out having fun, amen, on four-wheeler or something. But you know, I've kind of had to become sober-minded because there's a lot of serious things in my life. Pastoring a church is serious. raising a family, having 8 kids, a wife. These are all serious things. Amen. And I don't like messing around with those things. I like to be serious over that. I don't like the devil having an advantage, amen, on me or my family or church. So we get sober-minded, amen. But again, what we're talking about is how we affect others, how we affect the young around us. And that could even be young in the ministry, immaturity in ministry. They're not ready for certain things yet. The day they get saved, we're probably not going to deal with them in some doctrinal dissertation on certain things because they're not quite ready yet. We're going to go back to the base things of Christianity and bring them up in those things, right? Same thing's true of life. We want to be careful. So he then turns the focus. So the first part of this focus was on, we don't want to offend. By the way, he's talking to his disciples, not the Pharisees, not the lawyers, not the scribes. He's talking to his disciples in teaching this. He says to them, with that discussion you're having about who's the greatest, I need to let you know something. You better not offend these little ones. Trip them up. You better not trip up these little ones that believe in me. That's what he said. He said to them, it would be better for you to be drowned than to do that. That's what he said. Now, he turns the focus from there. The next three things that were stated in reference to the hand, the foot, and the eye. He turns to the individual. And he says to those, with that focus in mind, that we have a responsibility in this. The individual. And we must deal with the things in our life that would cause or be the means of a potential offense towards others. Notice in verse 43, he says, if thy hand, not somebody else's hand, not a hand that's reaching out to you, it's your hand. If thy hand, this isn't somebody else cutting your hand off, amen. This is you cutting your own off. It's not someone else cutting your foot off. It's you cutting your own or plucking your own out. This isn't somebody else to do to you. It's you to yourself. Do you see that? He says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better. That's the second time this is used. It is better. First time, it'd be better for you not to be part of the equation than for you to lead a little one away from me or to be stumbled or be tripped up in his belief system concerning Christ. Now, he says, it is better. If you cut your own hand off, it says, and enter into life maimed, and have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never that never shall be quenched, for the worm dieth not in fire. So if thy hand offend thee, the word offend is the same word for offend, that's scandalizo, which means to stumble, to trip up. This is in reference to, directly, is in reference to having a lack of faith, if you will, being moved away from the things of God, being unstable in ministry, not being consistent with the things of God. That's what this is referring to. By the way, all of us deal with sins. We all deal with things, and we will, because sin dwells in the flesh. This is not about that we must be perfect to be saved, to serve. Well, we are called to be perfect in a mature state. We are to grow. But this is not saying that you will never have sin. But what it is saying is that sometimes there are things that we do, right? The hand is going to represent what we do. We do things with our hands. The feet, if your foot offends thee, cut it off. The foot deals with where we go. We use feet to get there. Hands we use to do, feet we use to go, right? And then if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Eyes we use to see. So if there's something in your life that you do, places that you go, want to go, or things that you see, want to see, he says, if any of those things offend you. What's offend mean? It means to trip up. It means to cause you to stumble in reference to your basic understanding of Jesus, specifically salvation, who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. who came and he died on a cross and went in the grave and rose again. He delivered unto us salvation. He came to set us free, to make us free. So if there's something in your life that is causing you to stumble, see, you know how we trip others up? By letting things stay in our life that's tripping us up. What does everybody know what a pet is? A pet. Like, we have chickens, but I don't count them my pets because I tell them they're livestock. They're like producing eggs. We had one disappear the other night, amen. And it's hard to see a chicken go, amen. If I'm going to see a chicken go, I'd rather have it show up to dinner. Right? You know what I'm saying? Than for some raccoon to get a meal. You know what I'm saying? Now, a pet is an animal that really potentially has no value except you pet them. They're a user. They eat. They cause you labor and cleaning up after them. They might cause you some comfort. But when they disappear, but you're broken up, you're totally decimated over it. That's a pet. You pet it, you keep them around. It's kind of like it makes you feel good. And that's, I'm not saying you can't have a pet. Have a pet. If you want a pet, have a pet. Amen. But the point is that sometimes we treat life like we have little pets in life. And sometimes things that we know should not be a part of our life. Sometimes music to some people is a pet. I know I really shouldn't have this music around, but I like it. It makes me feel good. And I like to pet it. It provides something for me and all that. I keep it around. I'm not really sure if it's right or not, but I like it, right? Sometimes places we go are like that. You know, I go to this place. I hang around these people. I don't know that it's really a good place to be. I don't know if the people are really good to hang out around, but I like the place. I like the people. Even though I'm not really sure about them, I'm going to leave it around. Maybe you know they're wrong, but you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Maybe it's a family member. You know, family's a blessing. Sometimes there's parts of our families that they're really not good influences. And maybe you as a parent can handle it. Maybe. But it's a little bit of a stumbling block to you. Sometimes we don't think about how it's affecting others, like our kids or something. We're just not thinking through that. Amen. So these are the things that are being mentioned here. Sometimes worldly practices could be included here. The pet practice of complaining. The pet practice of arguing, debating, right? I learned a long time ago, God showed me that debating is unbiblical. We can reason. But just entering into an argument to win that argument, to show that you know what's right, and that debating, that's listed in the area of sins, or things we shouldn't do. Sometimes we engage in things and practices that either it's what we do, it's where we go, it's what we see, and we leave them hang around. They're offending you. They're causing you to stumble in your faith. They're potentially, they're tripping you up. They're enticing you to sin. But you've built up this thing that you're managing it, right? Those are the areas that ultimately you will offend little ones with. Because now you have to support it. Because, listen, you know why I can speak critically of a dog? You know why? I don't have one. Do you know why some people don't like to speak critically of dogs? It's because you have one. Anything we have, we support. Is this making sense? You know why people speak bad of Fords? Because they have a Chevy. And the same people that spoke bad of Fords when they have a Chevy, they'll flip-flop. They'll get themselves a Ford. Not all, because some people are diehard in this area. Then they'll start speaking. It's about what you have. Do you see what I'm saying? What we have as a pet, we will support that thing. The problem is that sometimes what we have is offending us in a biblical context. And we've made excuse for it. But here's where it really gets bad, what Jesus says. Listen, there's a big difference between hand cut off, foot cut off, eye plucked out, and millstone around neck, drowned. Do you see there's a difference there? The hand cut off, foot cut off, eye cut, you're still alive. You're just missing part of you for the better. The other is you're dead. You're gone. Both feet, both hands, both eyes, dead. Do you see the difference? There's a big difference there. So what he's saying here is you take care of you in these little areas so that you don't offend the other and wreck their Christianity, wreck their belief. How many people do we know that have been totally sidelined in their Christianity and they point back to somebody else in their life who allowed this or allowed that or did this? And we might say, I don't like that. They shouldn't do that. And I agree. But at the same time, we must be careful that we are not the ones that are offending others because of what we have allowed to be in our lives. I've literally had people say to me, I would never want to be in your family because your family doesn't do this. Can I say that is horrible? Amen. Because what they should be saying is, I want to be the best Christian as possible. I need to ask, why do you do this or why don't you do this? But the reality is people enter into this environment to where now their whole life is about what they do, where they go, what they say. It's all about this external stuff when in reality our lives are not about these things. Our lives should be about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And anything in our life that offends or causes stumblings, we should be very careful to maybe get rid of some things so that, just so that we don't offend. And that's what this text is teaching. Let's jump down here in our text. Let's go ahead and look at verse number 49. I'm sorry, 48. No, 49. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. We're not going to deal with the salt, I said today, but what you can do in your life, instead of creating a life of potential offense, you can create in your life a peace. A peace as we are peacemakers to resolve conflict, to resolve any issue in life based on the Word of God. That is who we are. Listen, we are not called to manage complex situations. We are called by the Word of God to bring simplicity to them. Does that make sense? That's who we are. Say, why? Because that's what a child can understand. Say, who's the child? In all reality, we all are. And none of us ultimately do good with complexity. Some of us may be a little better than others, but if we were honest, those are the things that us mature ones cry about. When things get so overwhelming because we've let them build, now we just don't know what to do. We are being crushed. Say, what's the answer? Simplicity, a childlike faith. Make things simple. So how do I do that? The Word of God. The Word of God makes things simple. Amen? And so that's what we see in our text. It's pretty powerful. Amen. Look over at Romans 13. Romans 13, I read this verse or this passage earlier. By the way, while you're looking there, let me give you another thought. In Luke 16 and verse number 25, the rich man is in hell. And he said basically to Abraham, just talking back and forth about why he's there, different things, and wanting Lazarus to go and reach his brothers and all that. And this is what Abraham said to him. He said, remember in thy lifetime that thou receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And what that means is this, basically this. Life is short, eternity is forever. Life is short. There should be nothing that we hang on to in this life that hurts our eternity or anybody around us. Amen? What we're here to do is, number one, be saved. Number two, help lead people to an understanding of the Scripture so they can be saved and so that they can lead a life that's proper and right in the sight of God. That's what we're here to do. Sometimes that means great discomfort for us in this life. Amen? But if we make this life all about our comfort, then we've missed the point, and ultimately we might find ourselves in the same place as the rich man. Now, in 1 John 2, and I had you turn over to Romans 12. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So again, we see another passage that says, we better be careful what becomes our pet. We better be careful what we won't let go of. Amen? We better be careful because God has warned us not to love certain things. Amen? Because when you love them, then the love of God can't be in you in those areas. Amen? Now, Romans 13, this is tremendous. It says in verse number 10, Romans 13, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's a tremendous passage. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I had a guy at work, man, a long time ago, just thinking back, amen, today. He would say this. He would say, let's stop loving people to death and let's love them to life. That's pretty profound. Because we use that expression, I love you to death. Please stop. Amen. Please stop. Stop that right now. We want to love people to life. If my loving them ultimately hurts them, that's not love. Because love works no ill to his neighbor. Does that make sense? That's what it says. Now, it goes on to say, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. So he's saying, we need to wake up. We need to see things properly. We need to see things with the right eyesight. We're sleeping at times. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Casting off the works of darkness. Those things mentioned, Colossians 3, Ephesians 4. We're casting out lying. We're casting out pride. We're casting out the works of the flesh. And as we cast those out, we wake out of that sleep. We put on the armor of light. Why? So that in our text, we can walk honestly now. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned earlier that simple life. When we let go of the complexity of sin, let me ask you a question. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, by eating of that tree they were not to eat, did their life get simpler or more complex? A lot more complex. Every time our life gets complex, I tell you, you mark it down, it's because of sin. That's what happens. We allow for things in our life. We allow for things and we heap that in there and we get a complex life. We build a scenario, like going to church. What's the Bible say about church? Forsaking not the assemblings of ourselves together. Who should go to church? Those that are saved, right? Once you're saved, you get baptized. God joins you to a local body. That's how it works. Then it says not to forsake the assemblings of ourselves. How many here can say, over the last 10 years, there's never been a church service that I thought, this never happened. I'm tired, I really don't want to go today. Anybody say, that has never happened to me? Every time there's a church service, I am ready to go, eager to go, excited to go. Cloud nine. Anybody? You mean to tell me every one of us here have thought to ourselves, I'd like to just stay home tonight? Why did you go? Well, hopefully you did. Right? In times like that, what's the simple thing to do? Oh, I'm going to challenge you. What's the simple thing to do? Go. That's not the simple thing to do. I got to get my... No, because if you don't go, your life just got complicated. Why? Because now, by the way, mom and dad, your kids are watching you. And what did you just train them to do? Man, just don't go when you don't feel like it. When you get other things, do you see what I'm saying? Now they have that seed going on. And by the way, you potentially just offended them. Biblically speaking, you put a scandal there in their life. Scandalizo. And now it gets easier for the devil to use that to tempt you later. And now he'll tear you up on your inconsistency. Because you knew you should just go. Now I understand sick, all that. I get it. I'm talking about, I just don't feel like it. Do you see the difference? And so the simple thing to do would be just follow what God says. Simple. Why'd you go? God said. I mean, it's that simple? Yeah. The complex thing to do would be, well, you know, I got this. I got, oh, it would be. And see how it just starts layering. That's what I'm talking. That's complexity. You can do that with everything. And you can do that with every absolute everything in your life. When your life gets complicated, it's because you've added layers outside of just a simple life of just following God. What does God want me to do right now? Not down. God doesn't speak to us about what's coming up 5 years from now. He just doesn't do it. In general, we stay in a kind of a mode, but the specific things of life are all right now. It's all, what am I going to do today? That person just made me mad. What should I do? I'm going to slap them. That's going to make your life complicated. Right? What should you do? Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That person just said something. I don't like it. Just going to let it roll off like water off a duck's back, amen. Just going to let it roll off. I'm going to love that person anyway. Why? Because if I don't, man, my life is fixing to get extremely complicated. I'm going to manage all these relationships that aren't where they're supposed to. Just follow the truth every time. And that's how we do it. So in Romans 13, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. We get things right. We unclutter our life. We put on the armor of life. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. That can only happen as you're decluttered, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus in everything. Put ye on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. No provision. Do not give your flesh provision or resource or means to offend you, which ultimately will be used to offend others, of which Jesus said is worthy of being drowned with a millstone in the sea. So how do we do that? We identify those things. We cut those things off in our life. There may be certain people you can't be around for now, right? There may be. You got to cut it off. There may be certain things that you keep doing that you shouldn't be doing. You got to cut off. There may be certain things that you're looking at that you shouldn't look at because of what they... How many here watch the news? How many here watch the news at all anymore? Anybody? A couple? Okay. How many like to watch the evening news, say, just before you go to bed? Well, you shouldn't, because you're going to go to bed thinking about, man, there's 15 murders in Indy last night, and Mayor Joe Hogsett did another stupid thing, amen, which happens every day, and on and on and on, and you're going to go to bed with all that on. Wouldn't it be better if knowing you and knowing how things work, wouldn't it be better, hey, before I go to bed, I want to get me some scripture. I'm going to open up the book of Psalms. I just can't sleep well. Try this. Just put your little Bible app on, whatever. Listen to a few Psalms. Listen to some scripture before you go to bed. You may not want to listen to Revelation, amen. May not. I want to choose wisely, amen. But listen to some things like that. Some peaceful, do you see what I'm saying? We need to know us. We need to know what works for us, what creates peace in us, and what causes conflict in us. Because what causes conflict is causing a scandal that doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody else around us. And Jesus is saying here, love your neighbor, love those around you, love the least around you, because they're fragile. And you may think you can handle complexity. They can't. And if you let yourself get complex like that, you are going to lead them away from me. That's what Jesus is saying. And he says, don't do it. He says, it'd be better just to drown you now. Now, he's not advocating for the drowning of all the disciples. He's advocating for cut off the area in your life that would lead to that, so it wouldn't come to that. Amen. It would be better. It is better. That's the title. This passage warns us in closing of the severe consequences in our lives when anyone leads a child away from Jesus into sin, or anybody for that matter. What we allow, what we want to do, what we want to accomplish, where we want to go, what we want to see, what we want to keep in our lives, we must be careful that that's not causing a complexity in us that would lead to offense, that would keep us from being faithful, that would keep us from being consistent. In this very short life, life is a vapor in light of eternity. Amen. It is better if we come to Christ first in salvation than to serve him faithfully. It is better if we lead people to Jesus, not away from Jesus. It is better. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time together. And Lord, a thought-provoking message for me especially. I'm just thinking through so many things in study and now even preaching this message. And so many eyes look my way, and God, I don't want to offend. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to lead people astray. I just want to be simple-minded concerning the Scriptures. God, not simple to the place that I'm ignorant, but just simple in the state that I'm not bringing complexity in my life, because I've walked away from your word and layered my life with all kinds of things that I want there, but that you've not wanted there. God, help me to be careful what I do to those around me by what I allow, what I bring close to me, and what I engage in. Lord, you've called me and you've called all of us as saints to be peacemakers. You've called us to peace. And God, if we're not creating peace in those around us, then we're creating turmoil. And if we are, God, we're offending in this context. Lord, help us not to do that. Thank you, God, for this message. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. It might be that we all need to spend a little time here in this text and spend some further study. But God, simplify our lives in this area. Help us to put off things that we've been managing, knowing of what it does in others that are looking on. And it would just be better just to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of our life and not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Thank you, God, for this time together in Jesus' name.